Well, praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for another opportunity the Lord has given me to come and share with you today. Praise God, the Word of God, on this Saturday, August the 28th. And praise God, I do thank God for this opportunity. And I feel so unworthy, praise God, but thank God for He calls, and praise God we answer Him, amen? Praise God, I'm Pastor James A. Dansby, a Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God, once again declaring to you, to the world, that Jesus Christ is the answer. We have only to turn to the Lord. You have not, because you ask not. That's the Word of God, amen? But I do have a word. I have a word for you today. Praise God. And it's again, we looking at that Matthew 22. This is the third installation, the third message in this series. And we are closing out today. So look with me again, Matthew 22, 41. And again, I do encourage you, you look with me. Praise God. You open your Bibles, read with me, and don't take my word or anybody's word for what thus said the Lord. Praise God. You are of age, so the Bible says you ought to look for yourself, speak for yourself. Amen? Praise God. Matthew 22, 41 through 46. It says in 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then, Jesus said, call him Lord, or call me Lord, how is it that I am his son? And that verse 46 says, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Let's bow here for a word of prayer. Father, we bless you today. Thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity, Lord, to praise God, to proclaim your word today. I pray your anointing might be upon the speaker and the hearers today. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, that we might receive your word today. And Lord, we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're taking our thought again from that 42nd verse. And again, just part three, final installation in this series. Our subject, what think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? And that has been our subject throughout this complete series here. And in our first two messages now, in the first two messages, we examine three doctrines in the Bible wherein our mindset and, praise God, and our thinking must be in accordance with the Word of God. Amen. See, if we are to be saved, that is, we have to line up with the Word of God, for as our thoughts about Christ are concerned. Now, first of all, we looked at, number one, the divinity of Christ. Christ is divine. Christ is God. We looked at that. Praise God. And that same God. Number two, we looked at the same fact that Christ, Jesus Christ in the body, in the flesh, was also God. Praise God. Now, in that third doctrine we examine very closely is the free justification of the believer. We are justified freely, not based on your works, not based on anything you can do. You can't do anything to please God. You can't top what Jesus has done, so don't even go there. Don't even try that. Amen? But all three of these must be accepted and believed in order for us to be saved. What we got to believe? Christ is God. Christ, Jesus Christ in a body was also God, and that we have free justification. In other words, we've been exonerated. Praise God. God sees us just as if we have never sinned, based on nothing that we have done, just his choice. We have to believe these things. But now, in this message today, our last message here on our thinking of what we think about Christ, we're concerned here about the importance of our growth. And our sanctification. Very important to us, very important to God. Our growth and our sanctification, which will span the majority of our time while we're based here upon earth. Praise God. Our growing, our sanctification. Praise God. It must be in accord with God's word. Praise God, the word of God. Now, Galatians 4, if you look there, at Galatians 4. What did Paul say? Isn't it Paul now? Paul says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until, praise God, until Christ be what? He said, be formed in you. Now, he said, I'm travailing in birth. That's what he says to the body of Christ, the believers there, until Christ be formed in you. Now, Paul here, he likened himself to a mother giving birth to a child. But now, in this case, it is a spiritual child here. He's dealing with spiritual children. And the pain comes from his efforts to bring them from babes in Christ to full maturity in Christ. We have to be headed in that direction. Praise God. Now, again, it is after and only after, praise God, we have understood who Christ is in us. Got to understand that first of all, and the importance of our being justified by him, in him, through him, it is only then that we're ready to grow, ready to begin the process of growing into his likeness. And this is God's will. Praise God. It's God's will. And it should be an urgent desire in all of us. If you're truly saved and every true believer, you ought to want to grow. Praise God. You ought to want to mature in the word of God. Now, when I was a young man, though, when I was a young man there, my mother often told me that, you know, son, you need to slow down. You want to grow up too fast. And then she would say, you need to enjoy your childhood while you can. Well, I understand what she meant now. But now, it was the same. It's the same when I was born again. I wanted to grow up. Praise God. When I was born again of the Spirit of God, when God changed me, I wanted to grow up. I had an intense desire in my heart to grow up in the Lord very fast. Praise God. Which is, praise God, not a bad thing. It's really not a bad thing according to the Word of God. It's not a bad thing. Well, look at Hebrews 5. I'll show you that. Hebrews 5 and 12. I took effort. I went through much pain and effort to try to get as much of God's word into me when God saved me. Amen. And I think it's a good thing. Look at Hebrews 5 there and 12. Paul says there, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need, he says, that one teach you again that which be the first principles, ABCs of the word of God. And you become such as have need of milk and not strong meats. So we got a problem. Look at 13. He said, for everyone that uses just milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You baby. That's what he says. But now 14, he said, but strong meat, amen, belonging to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use of exercise, praise God, have their spiritual senses, praise God, exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, Paul is dealing with a group of that call themselves Christians. And I may be speaking to you, somebody that would fit right into this group. You call yourself a Christian, but now they're not growing. You're not growing spiritually in the Lord. Now, these brothers in the Lord here, they remain babes in Christ too long, for too long, too long, too long, too long. See, if we are saved, listen to me now, listen to me, if we are truly saved, it is only natural for us to be learners, I mean students, for a while. That's natural. That's right. And then we ought to graduate to a position where we can teach others. Now, that's what Paul said, and I understand that well. That is, if we're growing up properly, though, in the Lord. Praise God. But now, they, after so long a time, they could not even digest, praise to God, the meat of God's word. They had problems digesting the meat of God's word. Can you imagine a person 20 years of age? Just think about that now. Just a hypothetical, picture of this situation. Can you imagine a person 20 years of age still eating baby food, Gerber, still down in a bottle eating that Gerber baby food? Can you imagine that? Well, these were the kind of believers Paul was dealing with. He was addressing these kind of people. The deep waters of the Old Testament. There's some deep waters in the Old Testament now, very deep. they did not yet understand. They didn't understand them. Praise God. Choosing rather to stay in the, praise God, they chose to stay in the kiddie pool of the New Testament, just hanging around there. But there come a time, though, praise God, when all believers must launch out into the deep. That's what Christ said, launch out into the deep waters. And we have to launch out into the deep waters of God's word. You can't stay in the kiddie pool. Praise God, you got to grow up. Amen. But now, James called these kind of believers hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. In other words, their spiritual senses has not yet been exercised, huh? By way of deep meditation and consecration in God's word, you know, by being, you know, victorious in different trials and tribulation, and by maintaining their joy and their peace, even when you're in the lion's den of life. You know, in this life, we sometimes get in the lion's den. But now, if you're in Christ, these trials and tribulations will make us stronger. Praise God. It will bring us closer to the Lord. Those who find themselves in this sad spiritual condition that Paul here is referring to should ask themselves. You should ask yourself, if this is where you are in the kiddie pool and you hadn't grown, though you say you've been saved for years and years and years, you don't really have no real spiritual appetite for God's word. Praise God. You don't have the can't help it. And you got to have some, like you have to have your necessary food. Now, if you don't have the desire for the spiritual food equal or beyond your natural food, you need to ask yourself, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Or am I fooling myself? Am I fooling myself? See, in our early years of schooling, most of us probably took biology or some kind of science classes, I believe, where we learned how that ugly caterpillar, think about it now, went through a process of various stages to become a full-grown, beautiful butterfly. We talked about that in our science class. The process is called metamorphosis. That's what they call metamorphosis, meaning to change from one form to another. Now, this word metamorphosis is an English word that comes from a Greek word which means to transfigure. To transform, be transformed, to be changed. That's what it means. Amen. And we see it in a number of places in our Bibles. Praise God. Let's look at a few. There's a number of places. Let's look at a few, though. Look at Matthew 17. Come on, stay with me now. Matthew 17. Let's look there. Matthew 17. And let's look at one. We'll just look at one and two there. Just grab one and two. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart from the other disciples. And he was transfigured, metamorphosis, before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as snow. Talking about Christ now, he transfigured here. Praise God. And then if you look at Romans 12, and we just look at verse 2 there, Romans 12 and 2. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's a metamorphosis, huh? By the renewing of your mind, he says here. By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might what? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another of scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. 3:18. It says, but we all believers, with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed, metamorphosis, into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the caterpillar now, praise God, the caterpillar goes through four stages. We can learn this in science class. Four stages before it becomes a full-grown butterfly. A beautiful, full-grown butterfly. First of all, you got the egg. You got the larva. Secondly, the pupa. You got thirdly. And fourthly, It's a beautiful butterfly. Amen. And the believers also go through four stages. The believers, every believer, four stages. They're like the caterpillar before we become fully grown. Praise God. Before we reach perfection, spiritual perfection. And let's look at them. Let's look at them now. Four stages, just like the butterfly. Amen. Romans 8:29-30. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image. That's what we headed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay, so now the first stage in the believer, in the believer's transformation here, or we call it transfiguration or change. In the first stage is the calling. God first called us. I was called. Praise God. I didn't volunteer. Praise God. I was going in a different direction when God called me. So every believer is first called by God. And then we are justified by God. We are put in a category where God, because of Christ in us, praise God, faith that he gives us to believe in Christ and Christ in us, because of that, God justifies us. He looked at us as though we have never sinned. Just as if we never sinned. But then the third stage is sanctification. Just like the butterfly there now. Sanctification for us, praise God. And fourthly, glorification. All four of them, just like the caterpillar. Four stages. By our calling and our justification, praise God. It takes place in a moment. Just a moment. Twinkling of eye. Boom. Just like that. God does it just like without our participation. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Without our participation at all. But now our growth and our sanctification, our maturing, our change into his image is somewhat predicated upon our participation. We have to participate in this. Amen. While we're here in this life. Until we arrive at our heavenly destination. And there we will be glorified. We shall see him as he is. Praise God. We're going to be just like him. Complete the butterfly. Beautiful. Amen. But now, when we are saved, we do not join, praise God, in organization. A lot of people join the Baptist Association and the Presbyterian Association and this association and blah, blah, blah. We don't join an association, organization, that is, when we get saved. But instead, we become an organism. We become organisms. And like the caterpillar, praise God, we're expected to change completely. God expected. In form, in appearance, in character, God expected us to change. From an ugly sinner, praise God, to the image of Christ and his holy character. Not if and but maybe. We are expected to change. Amen? Now, in 2 Corinthians, look there in your Bible now. 2 Corinthians 3, stay with me now. 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to begin looking, we're going to get 13 verse there. Read down a few verses. 13, 2 Corinthians 3:13. Paul points out to us something that slows most of our growth in the Lord. Our change into his image. He points out something that really detrimental to our spiritual growth. Just as it did the children of Israel now. Praise God. Yesterday it did. Today, they still stunted in their growth. In 2021, they still have a problem. But now let's see what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:13. He says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Abolished, over with, y'all. But their minds were blinded. That's what 14 said. Their minds, children of them, are blinded. For until this day, he says, right? That was 2,000 years ago, but no, right, it's 2021. This day, 2021, remained the same veil, mask. They got a mask over their face, untaken away, says verse 14. In the reading, when they read the Old Testament, which veil, which mask is done away? It's all over. It's done away with Christ, in Christ. Look at 15. But even unto this day, he says, praise God, 2021 again now, when Moses is read, the veil, the mask, is upon their hearts. Upon their hearts. Nevertheless, verse 16, when they shall turn, oh, praise God, a lot of us just need to turn. We need to turn. When they shall turn to the Lord, the veil, the mask, shall be taken away. The mask that's upon them, which is upon many of you right now. The reason you can't grow, the reason you're retarded in your growth. He said it'll be taken away when you turn now. When you turn from your way to God's way. When you turn away from what the world says to what God says. What your denomination says to what God says. Amen? When you turn, the veil, the mask, shall be taken away. But now, keep this in mind. Keep in mind what Paul has just said. Now, what he said, especially in that 15, 16 verse, he said a veil, a mask, is upon their hearts, the people's hearts, during that time and today, upon their hearts. And the veil, the mask, shall be taken away, he said, when they turn, when they repent, when they get saved, when their minds will be changed. Now, go on down. Now, that's 2 Corinthians 3. Go on down to the 18th verse there. Go on down to the 18th verse. He said, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed. He said, we all now. Look at that. He began that verse. I said, we all. Meaning the believers at Corinth, as well as all believers today. You and I'm, you, me and you. And keep in mind the problem now, the problem. Paul was dealing with in this Corinthian church, the problem. The Judaizers, that's what we call them, the Jews, the church folks, the religious muckety mucks, you know, the ones that were running everything more or less. The Judaizers, they had infiltrated the church. And they were constantly trying to put the believers, the new believers, the yet by babes in Christ, back under that old covenant. That the old rituals and the old ceremonies in order that they might be justified. Seen as not guilty. In order they might be justified and seen as not guilty before God. Praise God. But now to go back under that old covenant, that old ceremonial stuff, it'll stunt their growth. It would stunt their growth. Amen. The old covenant, the old ways of approaching God, Paul says here very plainly in the scripture here, it's abolished. It's gone. It's a new way. It's a new way. Gone no more. Praise God. The approaching God with an unhealthy, I'm going to call it an unhealthy fear, and a demonic fear is not necessary, is not what God requires anymore. No trembling. But today, this is how they approach God. And many of you approach God like that. And that's why you're not growing. Amen. And remember now, under this old covenant, only Moses could look at God. Only Moses saw God. Keep that in mind now. Without a veil, no veil, no mask over his face. He took it off when he went into the Holy Holy. He took that stuff off. But now, under the new covenant today, which we are all under right now. If you're a true believer, every true believer, we're on a new covenant. We can go into the presence of God without the mask, without the veil. Praise God. We don't need no veil over our face, not under the new covenant. Praise God. We are under a new covenant. Amen. Praise God. We can go in without the veil, without the mask, and see the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, we can. Praise God. And we can grow. Praise God. We can grow in Christ. But only without the mask. Without the fear. That's the only way you can grow in the Lord. Praise God. Without that fear that Israel had, it retarded their growth. Yes, it stunted their growth. Look with me now. Look with me at Exodus. Praise God. Let's look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Let's start there, 34:34. It says, and when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil, the mask, off. That's what Paul says here. He took it off until he came out, until he came out of God's presence. And when he came out into the presence of those people, he spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. He told them what God says. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, his skin, the skin of Moses' face was shining. Oh, praise God. He'd been in presence of God. The glory, the Shekinah glory is all over him. And Moses put the veil, the mask up on his face, back on his face again. Not before God, he didn't. But before these fearful people, these traditional people, y'all don't wear a suit to church? Well, boy, that ain't right. Traditional people, amen? He put the mask back on when he came before the people because they were afraid. They were afraid. Praise God. But now, when he went to see God, he put the mask back on when he went to speak to God. Well, why did Moses put the mask back on when he came before the common people there, when he left God's presence? Why did he put that mask back on? Well, they were afraid. They were afraid. Instead of them coming closer to him, they are, I thought, with that Shekinah glory all over Moses, I want some of that. Praise God, I'd have came closer to him, and I would bask in the sunshine of God's glory. Yes, I would. Praise God, to grow, that I might grow from glory to glory. But they ran away. And still, people are running away from Christ today, 2021. Running away from the presence of the Lord. Amen. But now, before Moses approached God, he took the mask off, right? He took that veil off so he could soak up. He wanted to soak up the glory of God. Praise God. And he got what he called. I call it a God tan. He got him a God tan. Praise God. He was looking good. He was looking beautiful. And we all ought to want one of those tan. But you got to approach God knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're justified. Praise God. All believers, we must approach God today without a veil, without a mask, like Moses did. Go face to face, face to face, without the old traditional forms, hang-ups that we have been taught all our lives in order to be transformed and to be changed into his image. We got to put away. We got to get rid of some of that old stuff. Amen. But this is what happened to Moses here. Each time he went into the presence of the Lord, each time he removed that veil, that mask. Is that right? And each time he did this, he experienced a little bit more transformation. Transfiguration. Just as he did on Mount Sinai. You know when he went to Mount Sinai? When the reflection of God's glory illuminated him, transfigured him, praise God, into the likeness of Almighty God. Man, meek and humble he was. God, it's somebody being in God's presence will cause you, praise God, to become just like him. Again, now look at 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. Paul says there, when we turn to the Lord, the veil, the mask will be taken away. See, the old covenant is removed. The veil is removed. We can approach the throne of God unmasked, unveiled, and experience, praise God, the experience will be like looking in a mirror. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing the glory of God, and we'll be changed. That's the end game here. That's the third stage of this Christian life. We are being changed into his image, transformed on the inside, not necessarily on the outside like Moses was, but inside, which is going to make us act like Christ, look like Christ, talk like Christ, walk like Christ, love like Christ. Praise God, in this ungodly world that we live in. Oh, praise God. Look at Mark 15 then. Come on now. Mark 15. Stay with me a minute. I'm going to be through. Praise God. This is our final installation here. Mark 15, 37 there. Mark 15 and 37. Praise God. It says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil in the temple was rent in twain. Of the big veil, always separating the holy of holies from the holy place. It's always there. But now, all of a sudden, praise God, Jesus cried with a loud voice. He gave up the ghost on the cross, and when he did that, the reaction took place in that temple, in that church building that they've been worshiping so long. That big veil, it ripped. It just completely, from top to bottom. Praise God. And then in Hebrews 4:16, Paul says, now we can what? Come boldly. Let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We can come boldly. Come boldly. Come boldly, Paul said. Don't come fearfully like you know. See, if you know you're justified, praise God, you can come boldly. You've been justified by the Lord. You've been called. You've been justified by the Lord. You can come boldly unto the Lord. Praise God. We come boldly, Paul said, so we can get more exposure. Praise God. We can have more exposure to the sunlight of God's presence that's in Christ Jesus. Praise God. His image. Praise God, be burned into our hearts and minds and soul. Oh, praise God, and his will. Praise God. And one day, we'll see him face to face. One day, we're going to see him face to face, and we'll undergo a complete transformation. Yes, a total transfiguration. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But in the meantime, we're being changed. Every day, we've been changed into his likeness so we can be a beautiful butterfly, a beautiful saint of God. Amen? And again, now, I say this change now, this change, this process of sanctification, this illumination by his glory. It come only as we often fellowship with him. Often, not just on Sunday. I'm sorry, church folks. Not just on Monday, Sunday, Wednesday. Nuh-uh. I'm talking about every day. Often, as we often sat at his feet, lay our head on his breast, pray like old John, pray beloved John. Now, just go, just get close to him. Praise God, let the glory of the Lord come upon you. But you got to get close to him like John. That's one of the reasons why God chose to let him be the last one with the last word. He had been close to the Lord. Virtue had gone out of Christ into him. Because they were closed. Look at Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 1:1. It said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, different manners, spake in time past to unto the fathers by the prophets. But now in verse 2 says, he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he hath appointed what? Heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory. That's who Christ is. The express image of his person, upholding all things by what? The word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise God. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the express image of his person. Amen. And again, this change now, this spiritual growth we're talking about, this transformation, this transfiguration, going from a caterpillar to a butterfly, from an ugly sinner to a beautiful saint of God, it comes only as we constantly gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. How do we do that, Pastor? How do you gaze into the face of Jesus Christ here at this junction in our life? How do we do that? How do we see Jesus face to face today? Well, only one way. Only one way. Through his word. There it is. Through his word. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Look at 3 and 4 there. For if our gospel be hid. Paul said, if our gospel be hid. If you believers struggling to get a hold to this gospel, then it's probably hid to you because you're lost. That's what he says here. In whom the God of this world, oh boy, that's the devil there. He had blinded the minds of them which really don't truly believe. Is that right? Lest the light, what are you trying to do? What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to keep the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, from shining on you. He don't want that light to shine on you. That light, the more we're illuminated, praise God. In other words, we become the real Illuminatis. I'm a real Illuminati. I'm a enlightened one. I've been enlightened. These other Illuminatis that don't have no connection with the Lord, they are not illuminated. Not by Christ. By the devil, maybe, but not by Christ. See, it's only as we attend to his word, read his word, meditate on his word, it's only then that the reflection of his glory will change us and transform us, transfigure us into his image. But that old enemy, the devil, we got an enemy. He has kept many of you from the light. Yes, he has. Your only source of grace. He keep you from that. The word of God. And therefore, praise God, our churches today are filled with unsaved, Paul used the word ignorance. I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant spiritual midgets. That's what we got in the church today. A lot of spiritual midgets, huh? Oh, yeah, you got plenty of Bibles around your house. Yes, you have. A little dusty, probably, but now you don't read it. Why don't you read it? You don't have an appetite. You don't have a desire for it. Why don't you have a desire for it? Well, maybe you haven't been saved. You haven't been called. You haven't been justified. Well, that's not a hard thing. Praise God, asking you shall receive. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:6 now. 4:6, just about through here. 4:6 now. He said, for God, Paul said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He did that from the beginning. He does it in our spirit, in our lives. Has shined in our hearts. I was in darkness. Praise God. He commanded the light to shine on me. Praise God. He has shined in our heart to give the light. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 4:6. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. In the face. In the face. In the face of Jesus Christ. See, his word is a mirror. God's word is a mirror. And when we look into that mirror, praise God, we look into the face of God and the reflection of his glory. It shines on us. It grows us. It matures us. It energizes us. Praise God. Increases our joy and peace that passes all understanding. Our contentment. We become content with whatever state we're in. Praise God. So now, what we need to do today, brother, sister, let me tell you something. What you need to do today is dust that Bible off. Go ahead and get your Bible. Get the dust off that Bible. Praise God. And look into the face of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Praise God. I guarantee you, it'll make you a better husband. A better wife. Yes, sir. Better children. Better citizens. It'll make you, praise God, better everything. And remember, it is only through the power of the Word of God that our lives are changed. Our lives are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit who activates the Word and changes us into his image. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, I bless you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your people might hear your word in the day of your power, Lord. You said we would be willing in the day of your power. Now, Lord, speak to your people today. I have spoken, but Lord, your voice is that effectual voice. You speak now, Lord. Bring them closer to you. Bring them to salvation today, Lord, and remove all doubt and fears. Take the mask off. Let them take the mask off, Father, and come to you, our great God, our great Savior, our great healer. And Lord God, we'll give you all praise, all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you like this video, go hit that like button over there and then go over and hit that subscribe button. And when we come again, praise God, God's will. If God ain't through with me yet. If he ain't ready for me to go home, praise God, I guarantee you, I'll be back. And I'll bring you another word from the God, from God, from my heart, from God's heart to my heart and to your heart. But until that time, may God bless you and may God keep you is my prayer. Amen. And God bless you.